Hello, is anybody there? Hey there. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm okay, man. You?
I'm okay, except I can't seem to start my camera here. Let me see what's going on with my video.
Okay.
This may be interesting. Understand why. Says it's working. And here we go. Ta-da! All right. Okay. Hey, Philip.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Yeah.
Philip. Mark. Philip.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
All right. Just as a reminder, I turned the recording on because it's kind of like an open thing and I wanted to like save it in case we discuss something entertaining or brilliant. But just keep in mind that it's being recorded. So how you guys doing?
I'm busy, fine, debugging, multitasking. Yep.
You're actually debugging right now.
Yeah, I've been up working already.
You're a killer. You're killing me. Philip, I see you had another flurry in the issue space again, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to go through all the issues and put my comment on. So.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. That sounds good. I had someone else ask me at a presentation this week, where's the YAML spec? I said, we just threw that together. So this definitely caught some interest on somebody's part. So,
okay, I have an update on this. Probably at the end of next week, I will have a YAML writer. The parser will come next.
I need to talk about this idea that now that we're starting this thing where we have three different representations, probably need to rearrange the documentation in some way that maybe separates that out, has a sort of a generic set and then has maybe either separate specs or separate content. Like here's the YAML version, here's the mapping for JSON and so on and so forth. That'll make it a little bit easier, right? Because you kind of have to interpret this as you go, right? Right now?
I totally agree. Yeah, but from engineering perspective, it's much helpful, I would say.
Yep. So that's something I'll try to work on as well and make sure that's right. Mark, we talked about this, right? And there's sort of the other side of this, mapping and binding. So how does this map to HTML and how does it map to HAL and so on and so forth, right? That's another thing too, right?
Yep.
All right. So... just from my perspective, I'll just kind of go around. I've been featuring ALPS in a talk about a unified method for design. That's I've given the talk now maybe four times in the last couple of months. And just from my own perspective, I always shied away from the idea of automatically generating code or automatically generating specifications and really trying to keep ALPS as just sort of a design space that you use and then you sort of transfer it like you transfer from a napkin to something else. But in this talk, I've actually written a little utility that reads the ALPS and can, you know, produces OpenAPI or produces SDL for GraphQL or produces a protobuf file. And of course, it's popular. So I think that's taught me a few things about the spec, and that's why, Philip, you see things in this extension space, because I think there are extensions that are sort of unique to each one of these generators. And this past week, I mapped out generating a WSDL.
I worked a lot of WSDL, so it's kind of unbelievable to me.
So what are you saying, Mike, that you would have in an ALPS doc extensions that were specific to these different specs that your generator would pick up on and then annotate the missing information or whatever?
Yeah, so we used to talk about how ALPS doesn't really have enough information in it to really produce any like stub code or anything. So I'm kind of focusing right now on not producing code, but producing definition. And that means, you know, some formats need a title, or they need a channel name, or they need a, you know, some other bit that may or may not be available. They might need a method, right? So open API spec wants get, put, post, or delete, and all ALPS has is item potent and unsafe, right? So how do you add these things safely? And the way I've been trying to do this right now is using the extension element. And I do it for two reasons. One, and this kind of goes back to something that we should discuss. We could take the HTML approach, which is you just add stuff and you ignore it. And writing a validator becomes, you know, infinitely more difficult, I think. Or you sort of corral all of these added things, and I tried to corral them into this thing called extension. So there's definitely challenges there, but I've been adding extensions so that I can do extra things for each one of these. And writing a little routine, I wrote a little node script, a node command line script, which basically does a filter on all of the extensions. Find all the extensions for OpenAPI, because I'm writing an OpenAPI right now, and I'll use those when I generate OpenAPI or so on and so forth. So that's kind of the way I've taken the approach right now. You know, it's kind of a quick and dirty mode.
You know, just listening to you, and one of the things, and I think I talk about it in extensions, you know, I propose the ability to create a ALPS overlay document effectively by referencing another ALPS. And everything in that document is extensions, because if you think about having an ALPS profile and putting all these different extensions in it for different things, that doesn't make sense. But if you could, and this is what I know OpenAPI is grappling with, which is, you know, this idea of overlays. But I do think actually having an ALPS profile, and if you have extensions as a mechanism in some of this stuff, I think I gave some examples in the issues. If you could take a profile that is actually purely an extension, and it references some base profile and it says extend all these things, you could have an OpenAPI extension version. You could have a GraphQL extension version. You could actually have an HTML or a Siren or whatever, and you could actually use these extensions to effectively define how to, you know, do even some of this mapping. So I think that's something that, you know, like, how do I have an ALPS profile just not become a cruft center of extensions that are just like everything? That's going to be, nobody's going to like that.
Right. I totally agree with that. And Phillips mentioned something similar too. I'll let him speak for himself. But I want to make sure we think of, we're talking about using the word the same way right now. And that is, I want to make sure in our specification, there is an easy way for somebody to create something without having to have a meeting, right? And in HTML, you just add it. Right? In HTML, you just add a new angle bracket, or you add a new attribute. Mm-hmm. So we could definitely do that. But I was sort of hoping to have some way to kind of corral extensions in some pattern. And the belief I have is that if an extension gets really, really valuable, then we should have a meeting and elevate it to a real native element of the spec, right? So this allows people to kind of be creative and try some things. And if it gets to the point where this is really powerful, let's make it part of the spec. You know, the way HTTP does this is with headers, right? You just keep adding stuff with headers. Headers and methods are all, you know, it's just a pile, right? And they corral it that way. And I'd like to do something similar. Phillip, I don't know what you think about this whole thing.
Actually, I don't have an opinion. As you said, you can leave it open. Anyone can add any element. That's okay. I think it will work. You can restrict it on X element. I think we have two those two options.
Yeah. Okay, we got somebody else coming in. Sorry, Ian. Yeah. So I think we just need to kind of figure out how we want to do it. Mark will attest. Hello, Koryim.
Hello.
Good to see you. Not see you yet. Yeah. It's dark, but it's good to see. Good that you are here. Thank you very much for coming. Konnichiwa. Yeah. Very good. There. Yes. Oh, I love your background.
Yes.
Fantastic. So, we were just kind of going around and introducing. I'll let each person introduce themselves just for a minute. I'm not going to say anything because I talk way too much. But Mark, do you just want to introduce?
Your connection? Hi, I'm Mark. I work on Alps through the years, friend of Mike's.
Mark Foster is one of the authors, listed authors. Occasionally, I forget to mention his name when I'm talking about the spec, and he usually sends me an email. No, it's not true. But Mark's been a key element. Mark, you've done quite a bit of implementation detail on this, right?
Who, me? In the past, I did a bunch of stuff that got me involved, just sort of seeing what the things are. I think the one item that we should discuss at some point a little bit, it'd be interesting to talk here, is that longstanding issue about dereferencing, because I ran into that back then, and I think it's still actually a design problem in Alps that we have to have an answer for, and I haven't thought one through yet, so we could talk about that. Anyhow, that's a long introduction.
Go ahead, Philip.
Hi, I'm Philip, and I'm just playing with Alps. I can say more.
So you are the first person I know of to write a usable validator and translator for Alps.
Yeah, that's true. It's just that, but you know, it's in development still.
It's a huge contribution because you came to me with very specific questions that a validator has to answer that the spec has been vague on. And I really appreciate your input. So it's really tightened the spec, even though I'm behind on implementing a lot of your suggestions. It's really helped quite a bit. So I really appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Mike. I remember we spoke about Alps 7 years ago. So sorry, you have to wait 7 years.
It's been a little while. Great.
Konnichiwa. Hello. My name is Koryama. I had some project using the Alps before. I can speak some English, but not so good. I want to be a good listener, and sometimes I want to help with, and I want to share the some. Some my product or some soft tools with using Alps later. Yes.
Very good. Yes, and you can ask us to repeat if I say something and I'm not clear. You can ask me to repeat. I appreciate 100%. I have to say, we've had follow on Twitter and I think maybe some emails for many years. You showed a very strong interest very early. And had some very valuable suggestions that I let slip, and I'm very embarrassed. I'm very, very honored that you're still here and you're still talking to me, because I realized that I did not actually respond to you the way I should. So I appreciate it very much that you're here.
Want to share what I'm doing.
Yeah,
so I have a summer leading discussion group about your books, RESTful Web API.
Oh yes. Yes.
It continued. It's like a nearly like a, I don't know, maybe 6 months, 7 months.
Years.
So and maybe 20 to 30 audiences always have.
No kidding.
And still continuing.
So do you just start again? So this is another discussion about a project that Koryama has. You just start reading the book again, and then people can just join.
Yes.
Is the book printed in Japanese?
Oh, no. But we are using the book in English.
Yeah,
but the translation technology become a very, very good recent few years. Mm. I think 1-2 years and very, very so useful. And so we use the translation program and discuss with the Japanese, yes.
Ah, that's excellent. Thank you very much. And I remember early on talking to Leonard Richardson. Leonard was the co-author, really the lead author of that book. And Leonard is also the co-author of the spec. And Leonard is also very appreciative. So thank you very much for all you're doing, Kuriyama.
Yeah, and if you guys speak a little bit slowly, and it's very, very helpful for me.
Okay, I will try to remember. It's very good, very good. Thank you. Okay, so we were talking about extensions, right? So, I have this example. I thought I might share just to remind people of how I've been trying. Working in it, and maybe you can see what my thinking is. Let me see if I can do this here. It may be difficult to see. I don't know if I can maybe make this bigger. Give me a second. Yeah. So this was the extension set that I was using when I was using my tool to generate OpenAPI specifications. Oh. Right. Oh. So I have like a title. And an ID and a root. These are things that normally I would use. Now I ran into a couple of problems in doing this way. What I wanted to do was be able to add random things and without breaking the structure to make it still validatable. So that if you wanted to write a strict validator, you could ignore things. But I think this type becomes super important. Right, and I think Philip, you've kind of mentioned this before, that maybe this needs to have some kind of IRI or something that sort of explains things to people. So basically, I'm saying things like, this is a metadata item whose name is this that has a value of this. Right, that's kind of the pattern I've used. I don't know if that's how people think of using it, but it actually is expanding more than what I originally set up, right? So I can imagine at some point, extensions could have types like a strong typing name, like this is an enumerator extension, or this is a forms extension or something, right? So that it's sort of, you can even write a parser for that extension or write something that's guaranteed to understand that extension. So even if it has more properties, you can sort of understand it. So that was my attempt. I don't know if this makes sense to anybody, but I wanted to at least share what I was doing. Philip, I think you saw this when I was trying to play with this earlier.
I think the purpose of extension is to let a user to add something. And right. from processor perspective, if I don't understand what the extension is for, I just let it be. I don't touch it. So if you introduce new properties that have some semantic meaning, it's a signal for processor to deal with it. And I don't think it's necessary.
Okay.
I mean, I would just keep it, I don't know what attributes are mandatory now, but as simple as is possible, and everything else should be
So let's just go right to the point. So maybe to get your feedback.
I think you can use it like this, but I don't see, maybe I'm wrong,
it doesn't need
to be part of the specification. All the new attributes, even if you use them heavily.
Yeah.
And I'm just thinking if maybe there could be possible to describe the extension by ALPS itself. Just an idea, quick. So that would make actually sense to put it, but I didn't think it through. That's just something that came on my mind right now.
So, is it better to just do this? Just to put in an element that is not in the you know, in the specification, or is it better to hide it? Basically, what I'm doing is hiding it in this extension, right?
Yeah, and I'm okay with that. I have no opinion on the one of those styles, but I was just trying to say that I think there is no need to standardize other attributes for extension.
So in the specification, all I would say is there's this thing called extension, and everything after that is undefined.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, like today I think it says extension has like ID and value, but we don't even need that. We can just say extension and it's undefined. Is that what you basically the idea?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Because everything else, if you standardize something, then it has meaning and it must be processed accordingly.
Yeah.
So, and today's state, I guess, is that extension is opaque, that you don't see what's inside unless you understand the extension.
Yeah. And you have to actually read the extension to understand it, right? So you're going to have to have some look inside. Now, if you don't want to understand extensions, you can just ignore them. But if you want to understand extensions, you have to look at every single one to see if you understand it, right?
Yeah, but that was my second thought, that maybe one exception could be kind of profile. Just to say I'm extension of this profile. It would help a processor to understand what can be processable without looking inside.
Yeah, it'd be pretty hard to not look inside an extension, right? To understand without looking inside, right?
Yeah, to understand without looking inside. So just,
you know, I can see saying something like this, where IDs are unique, right? In any document, we need to stick with that. So that ID is going to have to be unique for the document, but types could be shared, right? Like it could be enumerator type. Like, so that's a way to look inside and say, look at the extension's type and see if it's one you understand. So that's another option, right? That's one level in and saying, I understand enumerators. I understand this. I understand that. The other one is just simply, you know, not worry about at all. And just, that means anybody that's processing a document will process them all and then use the ones they understand and ignore the rest, right?
Yeah, I think I can go with that. Just there is a big question. How you define the values type?
Right. So what happens is if you go with this notion, like you name them in some meaningful way, then you need a registry.
Yeah,
right?
And that's you can use URI.
Yes. Like either way, I have to know the URI before I see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
So then I register it. Right. So we can just say just register the URI, and you can make URI would be a great way to solve this problem, right? And just say there's documentation somewhere someday, and this extension is extension blah, and it's registered. That's what headers do, right? You register a header or you have an unregistered header, right? So I think that's one way to solve this particular problem. The real question is how far you go, right? The first one is to just go nowhere, right? And just say, it's an extension. I can't tell you anything about it. The next one is to say, it's an extension and it has this IRI. Go look it up. And then the next one is to say it's got an IRI and all of them will have a value or something like that. So we just have to kind of figure out what's the level that's going to be interesting, I think. I don't know. How do you think, Mark?
You know, Mike, I'm grappling with thinking this thing through and the reusability and dereferencing stuff that I've been talking about and the idea of this even being sort of an array thing in YAML. I think this is an interesting question of, you know, you've made this an array here, but there is no ID. So how do I reference one of these if I wanted to? Or if I did this as a YAML oriented thing, it'd be an object and maybe the ID was whatever the key was for each extension. So I think that's actually an interesting question in this thing of like, okay, is it going to be sort of a object version where everything's an array and we're going to have all these, the metadata, so there'll be ID and all these things in there. And then the answer would be to sort through. It's less than ideal for some of the deep referencing. So maybe I missed your exact question.
Well, but I think it's just something we need to talk about. I agree with Philip in the sense that the less we specify, the better it is for everyone, right?
Yeah.
Because it's less work. And I agree with you in the sense that what I don't want to do is create something that actually makes makes it harder to cross documents and stuff like that. So we don't have to decide today, but I wanted to just, since I had you here, just sort of give you my thoughts and we can discuss them offline as well. I just wanted to make sure I showed this, that's all.
Yeah. I think having a standard set of keys around an extension that have semantic meaning in the context of this spec makes sense. And then the definition of the value, that gets back into that stuff I was talking about. I do think you need to separate href from being a documentation reference to actually reusable have an extension be able to be put in place referencing another extension, because that would allow you just to reuse extensions. You know, your question about this ultimate extension, how do I reuse it? Like, oh, everybody loves this extension. It's published somewhere. Can I just use it? You know, no, I just have to recreate it in every document. So I think those are things that I'm thinking around this space myself.
Yeah. So, we can discuss that more on the issues and online. I didn't want to take all of the viewing time on this. I just wanted to take advantage of the moment. I don't know if each of you sort of have something you want to discuss. Mark, I don't know if you want to talk about the reference thing for everyone to kind of give them a sense of what that's about too.
Yeah. So the big challenge, I think, in the dereferencing story that I don't think there's any answer for is, should a dereferenced ALPS doc be a valid ALPS doc? In my opinion, the answer is yes. So if I go and we've got hrefs and all these things, and I actually dereference the whole thing, I think that should be a valid ALPS doc. The problem is that when I dereference, I actually don't have unique IDs throughout that document anymore, because I might reference and reuse a particular element. And when I put it in, its ID is 5. So it's ID 5 here, ID 5 there, ID, you know, that. And to me, that's a like significant challenge. Like, how do you fix that, you know, without some wonky workaround?
Yeah. And that, so if I understand, this has to do with the idea of being able to chain ALPS documents, right?
Or even in an ALPS document itself, if I define a descriptor, say top level, you know, name, and I want to reuse that descriptor in different nested descriptors, for example. Okay, it means the same thing. It's a name, you know. And the moment I put it in the contact name and the business name, you know, like I've got a business descriptor or a contact descriptor, I say descriptor href is name is the ID or whatever. If I dereference that whole doc, now I have, you know, contact descriptor is ID equals name. And then I go into business descriptor, you know, business descriptor, and then sub descriptor is ID equals name. Now I no longer have a valid ALPS doc.
Why not just have each of those four as descriptors? Why do those four need to reference something? What's the advantage?
I put it in chat here. We'll take this off of the abstract if I can. I'll try.
Well, yeah, okay.
So if I have descriptor, hang on. I can't talk in type, so I'm just gonna be silent for a second.
Fine. That's fine. That's no worries.
Whether I even get this right, okay. So I've got that.
Right.
And then I have in the same doc,
tell you what, I turned on screen sharing, so if you want to just share your screen, it's up to you.
Yeah, I could go into a thing, but I think I can do it here.
Yeah. Okay.
I'll overemphasize this. Ah, shoot. Frickin' things takes away white space. That's supposed to be indented. Okay,
fine. I understand.
So now, basically, if I have that contact descriptor with a nested href in it, and I have another descriptor with a nested href to name, when I dereference that, each of them, in my definition, should replace everything. And therefore, you're going to have multiple descriptors in the same document that have the ID name, and that violates the ALP spec.
Okay, I get it. So, yeah. So, if I understand correctly, I just want to make sure when you reuse, when you reference something, you're not going to get the same. You're going to get the same identifier, right?
Well, that's what would make sense, right? Take whatever that thing is, put it here, everything, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, we can definitely talk some more about it. Originally, that's what name was added for, I think, but maybe it's not going to solve the problem that you're talking
well,
about.
Well, it solves the problem only in the sense of a document by itself. But it's still, because like it still doesn't. I can have name, I could have that, the first descriptor have a name called other name or something, because I have another ID that's, I want to call, or I can have an ID other name and its name is name. So these two things are both name. It still breaks down if I reuse that thing even in the href story. But if I dereference reference an external ALPS document, this is where it even gets worse. I could dereference three docs and have collisions of IDs that aren't unique. Yeah. And so this whole dereferencing and should this be, which causes me to think that there's some kind of a smell around the way ID is being used, and something's got to be fixed.
So I think that's possible. So the way I usually tackle these problems that I have is, how was this solved somewhere else, right? So if I go to that, I think this is solved in XML with namespaces, right?
Potentially, yes.
So I think we find other places where it's solved and then figure out, where to go from there. Right now, I don't feel the pain you do. So the other one that I usually do is like come up with the example that proves the point. And then maybe that's stuff that you can sort of produce and give us some examples, and then it'll sort of clear up. And usually, I think when we figure out what the pain is, we'll figure out what it is.
Yeah,
I agree with you, it's a challenge.
I'm wondering whether, I'm wondering whether I actually put into this GitHub stuff, what is it, spec? These issues that we're all talking about, whatever this one is, dereferencing nested chains. I'm just looking in here to see whether I actually put an example. Let's see here. Okay, so, all right, that's on me. I can go create an example in that issue.
Cool. I think that's good. And go ahead.
I hadn't done it yet.
I have just one question on the mark. How do you use ID? Is it just a way how to make references, or do you think of IDs as something what can be used for binding as well?
How are you defining binding? Binding to what?
Binding to some existing representation, for example, to HTML, to whatever. I don't mean ALPS document itself. I mean like something what's described by ALPS.
I think there are some aspects that we have defined in ALPS that if a descriptor is a transition descriptor, that the ID is an implied relation type name. And some wording to that. So I think that's the only place that I think, and ID or name, I think that we've actually done something that might bind directly to something external in the ALPS spec itself. I'm not sure whether we bind anywhere else, but I mean, ID is the anchor at this point for dereferencing. Hrefs of descriptors point to an ID.
Okay, so the only issue is that the descriptor doesn't have ID, so the document is invalid then, okay?
Doesn't have a unique ID.
Unique ID.
Document-wide unique ID, that's the issue.
Okay, got it, thank you.
Yeah, so we tried to start tackling this with a document I just put in chat, mapping guidelines for HTML, to try to answer some of those questions. When does it become, in HTML, when does it become a name, an ID, or a class, or a rel? It was really just a first draft, so it may not have solved all of that material, but I think that's some of what's there. And I think, Philip, that might be, the kind of question.
I'm sorry, I just clicked on a bad icon, sorry.
But anyway, I think this gets close to the questions you're asking. I think it needs lots of work. And I think it's a good question because we'll want to have these kinds of mappings for lots of formats, right? So it's a good point as to what's the ID, when is it used? There's some stuff in there about when the name is used, but I think that's a really good point as well. I wanted to also make sure Philip, if you want, there's some stuff you wanted to talk about specifically, just to kind of bring us up, like what you're working on, what the challenges are, and what needs to be fixed.
As I mentioned, I'm making comments on the issues, so let's keep it here, I will join next week. So if there will be something, we can discuss it, and also for Corinne. I hope the next week, I really hope that it will be YAML writer, so you can try transforming existing XML JSONs to YAML, sorry.
That'd be fantastic. Do you want, it, like maybe not today, but maybe next week, do you want to just take some time to show everybody the tool, the validator tool?
Yeah, sure, that would be great. Yeah. Five minutes, not more.
Yeah, I've been using it a lot. It's helped me a lot. I actually went through, used the validator on the last draft of my API book and found several quirks and bugs in the ALPS documents in my own book. So it's been very helpful. Very good.
Okay, cool. I know Java is not the most popular language right now. It would be probably better. More successful if I would wrote it in TypeScript, whatever, but it works right now. So.
Yeah. I think it's just fine. I appreciate it a lot. I really appreciate it. So yeah, we'll definitely watch the issues and see if we can't manage them. I'd like to get to the rhythm of about once a month refreshing the spec at IETF. That might be a little hard for me in the beginning. But we almost always have some kind of fix or some kind of change, and we can just kind of create a train, and that'll keep us on pace, I think. So there's lots of stuff I think that's sitting around now, fixes that have come in that need to be into the fifth version. So we'll see how it goes. That maybe that's too fast, but we'll see how it goes. Koriyama, do you have anything you want to share?
Yeah, so please give me the 3 minutes.
Okay, 3 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, and I want to share some my screen.
Okay. You can do that, yeah.
The tools. Can you see the guitar?
Yes.
Up state diagram. So I made this tool like nearly 1 year ago. So this is like from the JSON document to visualize the application state diagram, like here. So this is why I made this one is this is like for the sharing all stakeholders, like product owners, like also the backend programmer, and frontend programmer, and the database engineers, to sharing the understanding the sites and the website structures. I think the ARPS is the best, but not only the XM, not only the JSON. What I need is for the visualizing, for the so information storage and structure. So this is automatically made from the JSON. So we can track the history, the what is the semantics was made, added in each time. Well, what transition was made and added in who made. So those so and structuring our website. How can I say? It's a, I want to record everything in the GitHub record. So not only the visualizing tools, if we need some Adobe tools, like wiring tools, so we can track who made this decision, who put this another descriptor like that. Yeah. So, and I want to have some question about ARPS regarding this diagram. So maybe later. So. Maybe next year, but I just want to share.
So I think I remember you showed me this a while ago. The question I have is how do you know where the arrows go? Like, how do I know from blog post to about?
Yeah, can I ask them? So can I ask now? So this is my most the question I want to ask you.
Yeah.
This is because, so that was a problem. And I'm not sure this is valid or not, but it's better to see the profile here. So everybody can understand. And then, so here, the descriptor here, this is the blog entry. And in descriptor under here, so this is can make a line. This is because of from this and then so this is the destination. I want to ask you, is this a valid specification?
Yes.
And then so we can draw, so we can have all information to draw the this diagram. So and I also so this was converted to the dot file, like this. And even dot file we can read, so human can read this one.
Sure.
And then the SVG was made from and the render from this dot. Yes.
So how also then next question, because I find this fascinating. Where do you document the shapes and the CSS and the other details? Is that in the app, in the ASD app? Or do you also have other information?
Maybe you don't know about the dot file?
Yeah.
You know dot file, this one.
I have experience, yes. Like this shape and label and like padding and things. Where does this information come from?
Only this one. So this is all information about to draw the diagram.
Yeah, but that's not in ALPS doc, right?
No. This is just my like preference. So I made this design and but this part but everything was a no. How can I say? I just made a JSON, nothing else.
Okay.
So style was implemented by in tools. So you don't need to the specify. So each element, the rectangle or the like any stars, no. So
okay. I will look again and maybe we can discuss because I like this very much. I like this idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and before that, so we use some graphic tools, online sharing graphic tools, and we draw something like this. But yeah. This is like it's not an easy task. And we can't track the record. We want to make more sure. So under the ALPS and the visualization seems like a perfect combination, yeah, for us to the sharing. So in your book, so what one of the main purpose of the list is that you explain like understanding okay. Sharing understandings.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Yes, and to do so, not only JSON, not XML, is not enough for some people. But if we see that this diagram, everyone can understand. So yeah. In this page, so what was our, how can I say, what is incremented, what is included, what is the name of the transition, what is the type? So, so yeah, so for the product owner. Also non-tech person, and they can share the knowledge of the ARPS. So the 100% ARPS knowledge was expressed in this dialogue.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry for the very bad English, but maybe.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's good.
I'm sorry for that.
It's very good. Okay.
Yeah, like that. Thank you very much for the hearing.
Excellent. Excellent. Very good. I'll look at this again because it's very exciting. It's very good. Okay, so I want to make sure, is there anything else we should discuss for today? We're kind of at 20 minutes after. Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up or suggest now? And we can also have emails, of course.
One thing, yes, Flipstar, and I almost made the complete my implementation of the XSD.
What about XSD? Say again.
XSD is mostly done. So what I need is more example. So I want to share the validation of your library and my XSD.
Oh. Okay. Yes.
So the mic sound. So if you provide more example, more so some like standards.
Okay. Yes.
So we can. Yeah, we can do in Java utility, also the XSD, or maybe okay. My tool, maybe okay. My diagram. So yeah.
Okay, so there's actually, I'll share this online, but there's actually a folder now with lots of examples. It's just called, I think it's called profile list or something. I'll share it, and that's got some more examples, and then we can keep adding to that. And then you can use that to test your XSD and your tool. Okay, very good. We'll do that. I make a note. Excellent. Thank you, Kariyama. Anything else, gentlemen, at this point?
I'm good. I actually need to run.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. I know this is new to me. Hopefully it works. And hopefully I'll be here next week. If anyone else is, just come as you are. And if I'd love to see Philip show off what he's working on the validator. And anything else that you have, Mark, and then I'd be happy to show my little unified tool at some point too, but we can take that down the road. Sound good?
All right, see you.
Thank you very much. I know, what time is it, Kariyama, for you? What time?
It's 1:20, it's midnight.
Yeah, it's late for you. So thank you again very much.
Yeah, very, very late.
Okay, so long.
Yeah.
Ciao.
Arigatou gozaimasu.
Arigatou.
Bye.
Sayonara.
Sayonara.